Hey, G2, if I were invited to Landon's Halloween party.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. You don't like Halloween. You don't like parties. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, if I were invited.
You, like I said, you don't even like Halloween.
Okay.
That's why as kids we did family fun night instead of Halloween because you didn't like the holiday.
I know, but still. By the way,
still
it's,
what?
It's not a holiday.
Still what?
It's not a holiday.
Still what?
It's not a holiday.
Well, still what?
Well, can you still let me say who
okay.
I would...
Okay.
If I were invited to Landon's Halloween party, guess who I dress up as?
Who?
Kenyon Drake!
No!
Welcome to the Vietnam Fantasy Football Talk Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, the two G's, Mark and Drew.
Boy, he cannot catch a break, can
he? Landon. I feel like this happens with his lineup a lot. He has someone that does badly, he's not starting him, or he's starting him, and then he sits him on his bench, does great, and then he does the opposite, and it's just back and forth. Ugh, I'm sorry.
I do too. I'm always pulling for Landon. He's one of my favorite people in the league. I think there's a little bit of comic relief too. I hope I didn't insult him. Maybe he thinks he's not being funny, but I like reading his content, and he's just an all around good guy. He is, in my opinion, I said this to you earlier, he is just a likable leader. What'd you think of the football game last night?
Not bad. I didn't watch all of it. It's kind of unfortunate to see Mark Andrews go down, and I mean, he's like one of the best players on the field, and I don't know. I kind of felt like watching Lamar Jackson, you see kind of the things that he doesn't do quite as well as some of the really good quarterbacks. I feel like he zeroes in on certain targets a little bit too much and doesn't have the, I don't know if he doesn't have the freedom to throw to other people or if he is not allowing himself to take the time to look for other targets. But again, I didn't watch the whole game, and you know, maybe not every quarterback has their best game every single week, of course, that's just kind of what I saw.
In what I'm hearing, he's no Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Although it is nice to get the rushing yards
except
that he gets.
For the
and
running.
That's why, like in fantasy, he's going to be so good for quite a while, even if they don't necessarily, stay on top of their division, which right now they are. I think they're in first place right now with Thursday's win. They're half a game up at least.
But. Now, I don't want to be boastful. I don't want to be boastful. You probably know what I'm going to bring up. So, I like studying players who are fast. I mean, really fast.
Yes.
During the off season, I was and this was after he was drafted, and we're talking Isaiah Likely. And it's like, okay, he's a tight end. And there was one article, and I wish I had pulled it up, but it talked about how the team was very interested in getting him plugged in and maybe lining up as a wideout. And we saw him lining up, not where a typical tight end lines up. And he was doing exactly what was being talked about back in the summer months. And I just had this feeling that we may see flashes of brilliance with him. And was it 2 weeks on the show or 3 weeks ago, I mentioned him. And I had him on my team for 1 week, and like all of us, we have priorities, and I couldn't keep him, and I do think what could happen, I think Chris has him now. I can see the story playing out that, well, when Mark Andrews gets back, whenever that is, hopefully it's not a serious injury, I think that target share will go down, but I think he's going to be a gadget guy. Here and there, I just don't think you're going to see what we saw last night, week after week after week. But he is. I'm saying I knew it, and I have a good friend. His favorite team is the Ravens, and he knows nothing about fantasy football. He said, "Mark, get him on your team. Get him on your team." So anyway, I found that game interesting.
I definitely hope he gets enough looks, even with Mark Andrews in the lineup. I feel like a good coaching staff, you know, a good offensive scheme can put him in the slots and wherever, you know, have him be a fluid player.
Yeah.
Someone else for Jackson to be comfortable throwing to.
Now, he's young and hasn't filled out. He almost has that look of a Tony Gonzalez. He has that sleek build.
He's 240 pounds. He's no small chump.
I know. He just looks tall and thin.
Yeah, because he's 6'4". So that's one of the taller guys in the NFL.
Is Tony Gonzalez, is he 6'6"?
I have to look it up. I'll Google it while you're...
I know he used to play a lot of basketball, and I remember he played a lot in the off season, and I'm wondering if one of his contracts even said, you're not going to play any more basketball in the off season.
6'5".
So I knew, so I'm kind of on track there, that kind of that some, whereas Mark Andrews, when you look at him, and I'm just talking on the screen, I like to see him in person. He just looks like one big muscle. He looks like he's going to, when he walks, it's like it looks like he's going to pull a bicep muscle.
Yeah, he looks a little more bulky than say Kelsey does. Kelsey's more of the wide out sleek type of look.
I was going to say Kelsey looks like the kind of guy who probably does Tony Horton yoga, yeah, every other day. I'm not saying he does hot yoga, but I bet he does yoga. He looks limber. So hey, let's talk some games this week. Want to do that?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I thought we'd play a little indie music. And you like the sound of that?
Okay, that's not bad. Good. So, I'm proud of you.
Okay. Well, the first game we're going to talk about, the first three games we're going to talk about, all have playoff implications. And let's just start off with my favorite team, not counting yours. I love you and your team, but my favorite team is King Thomas.
Okay.
My favorite team.
What do you like about his team?
I like the manager. He is a man of integrity.
He's kingly.
He is my, I love doing business with him. He does it the right way. And King Thomas, I've got him edging JR 156 to 149. You think I'm in the ballpark?
I think anything with those numbers being close together is in the ballpark. This is going to be a tough matchup for both of them.
Now, I want to point out that King Thomas does not need to win this game. He does not need to. Here's the only thing King Thomas needs to worry about. Stay close. Because should there be a tie of these two guys at the end of the year, well, he needs the points. So
right.
He already has an edge. He leads the league in scoring. So just don't get beat by 20. Don't get beat by 30. Stay close. But I still think he has the edge.
Right. That's tough. I do really like the fact that Thomas has Josh Jacobs starting as he should consistently now. And I mean, man, look at his stats last couple weeks. He's put up a 36, a 30, and a 34 the last three games.
But here's what impresses me. Not just the scoring, the last three games in a row. Look at his carries.
28, 21, 20.
20 carries a week.
He's also getting targets. He's also getting, targets. Yeah.
So does this look like a guy who they didn't sign?
Yeah.
So is he going to walk?
Great question.
I'm interested.
Or do they try to get rid of him while he's hot and they can try to build their team up a little more? Well, clearly, they're lacking after 7 weeks whatever it is.
They have to make that decision because he'll be a free agent at the end of the season.
Right.
After the Super Bowl? Is that when that happens? Because trading deadline is it Tuesday?
It's coming up, yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, they're in it effectively. I mean, they're still playing for a spot in the playoffs. So
right.
So anyway, him and Chubb may be probably the best 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
Throughout our league.
Yeah, tough matchup here for sure. I think, you're looking on both sides. Tyreek Hill has Tua back, and that's pretty exciting for him. Although he's been able to perform a little bit without him, but then you look on the other side and Diggs against Green Bay, I think that could be a fun battle to see which of those two players ends up scoring more points. It's unfortunate for Joe Ryan that Andrews already put up that injury.
Yep.
With Andrews and only got 6 points. The only silver lining is that what if Pitts puts up about the same thing, you know, just because he hasn't been playing well.
That's why I don't have JR winning this game, because only 6 points.
Right.
So if he puts up his typical 15 plus, I'd have JR having the slight.
Yeah, edge. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if Joe was still able to put up like 150 points, but I think that Thomas could then still be able to put up like 160 with his guys this week.
When was the last time you saw four running backs?
Oh, starting? Gosh. Hey, kudos to Joe holding on to Mostert like he did. And then he's been able to kind of just completely take over the starting job in Miami when you thought it was going to be at the most a committee. We didn't think that Mostert was going to be able to come back as healthy as he has since he got hurt. It was a pretty bad injury. And I've heard people talk about it, and not something that you just come back from and are 100% from. And he's shown that he is that and looks pretty healthy. So that's exciting. And good fortune for Joe getting Kenneth Walker and having him in his lineup, because he's starting due to injuries. So I think if Joe wins, it's going to be another healthy game from Walker that's going to make that happen.
I do have a couple more question marks on Thomas. Kyle Pitts, you've already mentioned. So we don't know what's going to happen with him.
No idea.
Michael Pittman has a new quarterback.
Yeah, that's a question mark.
And isn't that a running quarterback?
I'm going to be completely honest. I know nothing about their rookie quarterback. He is a rookie, right? Am I at least right about that?
I think so. And he also has no Mike Williams this week.
That's right.
I don't know how long that will be. So I do hope Mike Williams can be back. Before we move on to our next matchup, who would you rather have, Tyreek Hill or Stephon Diggs?
I like Stephon Diggs' situation better, but I can't say that I'm not biased, because, you know, we've seen Buffalo be consistent the last couple of years, and with Miami, it's a little bit unknown. The unknown is the fear factor there, and I mean, yeah, Hill is great, and Tua's shown that he can. I've watched him play; he's throwing some bullets. He's not bad at all. You can't deny that, but. We've seen the consistency from Diggs. Maybe it's the safe call to say that I would go with Diggs, but I'm making the safe call here and saying that I would take him.
Is it maybe fair to say no decision is a bad decision?
Yeah. I like that. I'd take them both.
Okay. Got another game coming up. Acne Pack. I like that name. Acne Pack. And Jake. And again, I want to play a few more bars. I like this indie music. This is really, we just busted our budget for the year with this indie music. I've got, this may be controversial, but I got Jake winning by 2 points. 143.
I'm going to go with Jake as well.
143 to 141. Now, there's a reason for this. There's no Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
That's why we're picking Jake to win by two. Now, Jake may call you and say, why are you saying I can only win if there's no Patrick Mahomes? So, like I said, Jake, you text or call G2. Don't text or call me. But I will say this. Jake has the running back edge.
Yes.
Tua is back.
Yes.
I think the key is he has two flex receivers. If those two flex receivers, which includes Pickens, if they can pull their weight and far more, that's going to be a big key. Because don't forget, Chris has Jefferson and Olave. And that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. There could be easily 45 points between those two guys. So that's why the flex position of Jake has to not just overcome Chris's flex, but eat into some of those 45 points Chris is going to put up in those first two WR slots in his lineup. So, by the way, why is this game, I said at the very outset, three games with playoff implications, why is this game have playoff implications when Chris is going to be in?
Well, if Stump wins this, he still has a chance.
He still has a chance. So,
and
he has to win, right?
Yes, he has to win.
He has to win. And by the way, this is not a team I'm looking forward to playing. I speaking personally, I play him not next week. I play him in 3 weeks. I'm not looking forward to it. Not at all. He's got DeAndre Hopkins back. It's one game, sample size of one game. He looked great. I mean, he looked really, he looked like he hadn't missed a beat. So I think Jake is a sneaky, he could get sneaky and find himself in through the back door in that fourth slot.
I will say, even though I'm going with Jake, it's a little bit of a me just wanting Jake to win. I'm a little worried about the matchups for Cooper and Pickens. They're going against decent defenses there.
I agree.
And I think that could hurt him. And we haven't yet seen Pickens have a breakout game yet with his new quarterback. So we're just kind of hoping. Each week we're just kind of hoping that that's going to be the game. Hopefully it is, but it's a tough one against Philadelphia. They're best team in football right now, basically. Well,
that was in my notes as well. That's a great point. I also want to make the point that Debo hasn't made an impact lately.
Yeah.
And so he's not in. And I think I don't know if it's for certain, but it looks like he is not going to be playing this Sunday. But he really hasn't made a big impact the last game or two. So I am anxious to see what Pickens does, even though the competition is going to be fierce. I have a question.
Okay.
I don't already know. I'm like 99% certain what Jake would say about this trade. But if Chris could take Debo straight up for Ayuk, would he do it?
That's a great question. When you just look blanket face at the two players and you look at what they've done, obviously you're going to take Debo.
Yep.
He's the more established player. Ayuk is... Are they the same age? Before I put my foot in my mouth, are they about the same age?
I have to look.
2 years, 2 years experience from Ayuk.
I think Debo,
Debo's three. Debo's 3 years. Yep, their fourth year. The downside to Debo is, and you knew this as an owner of Debo, injury issues, and you have to expect that, especially because he runs the ball a lot. He's going to get banged up a little more than most wide receivers are. I think if for Chris, if you're in a situation where you're really stacked, he's the kind of player you'd like to have that he can, if he needs to be, he can be a boom and bust and you get the advantage of those boom games. I think for his lineup right now, maybe Ayuk's the better player, but we haven't seen enough consistency from him. So I don't know. Maybe he scored back-to-back great games. So I don't know. Maybe he does feel pretty good about Ayuk, but I would say right now, maybe not.
I would just add to this, and at the risk of name dropping, I have a friend up in Ohio, and I've interviewed him twice on my other podcast, and he is a driver every year at the Hall of Fame. He's been doing it for 25 plus years. One year, it may have been 2 years ago, he drove John Lynch. So he was the driver for John Lynch for the whole weekend. And this friend of mine asked him, what do you think? He asked him about Debo. He said, the guy I'm really, really fascinated with and excited about is Ayuk. And I remember that. That's why I've always been interested in Ayuk, because of that comment. And so anyway, I think it's an interesting thing to talk about. Both of them may say, you know what you can do with your thought in your eye and your idea. We don't need an nightlight because we're already glowing in your lifetime. No, how do you like that one?
I like that.
I should be a DJ.
You should send that song to me. I like that.
I will send it to you.
Okay.
Like I said, it kind of broke the budget. Eats into some of your inheritance.
Okay.
But I like this. It even gets better.
Okay. Okay. It's good job.
And notice I picked that one for my game.
Yep. Yep.
So anyway, the next game with playoff implications is MLB and...
It's the big one. Miller. What do you like? What do you don't like?
Well, I don't like... I will be stressed out that game. I'm not okay. Looking forward to it. Is it true that every fantasy manager hates their own team unless you're Chris?
I think Chris probably likes his team.
Well, how come I don't like
mine? Jake likes his team. I know Jake likes his team. He's talked about it. He said he really likes his team.
I don't like my team.
Well, I don't know why, because I would take your team over my team.
I just see too many holes. I see holes everywhere. The only thing place I don't see holes is quarterback. But I can complain about that because I don't have a legitimate second quarterback. Gosh. Miller has to win. Anthony has to win. And I'm pulling for him. I like Anthony. I love Anthony. I hope he deserves to be in the Final Four. I hope if he wins, I'd rather, if I don't win this game, I'd rather be to him or to you or somebody than somebody else. But Miller, Anthony has to win. If he wins this game, I'm not saying he's automatically in. It's going to be hard to get him out of finishing the Final Four. If I lose, I'm out. It's over. It's over. I'll finish the year with 7 wins, not 8. I have to win this game to have 8 wins. And I do think if I win 8 and if I can outscore Anthony the rest of the year, because I think Anthony can still win 8 games.
Yeah.
Now I need to just outscore Anthony the rest of the way. And I think that's possible with his roster. That's my thought. The questions I have for Anthony's team, does DJ score 4 points or does he score 20?
Yeah.
What?
You don't know with their quarterback situation right now, because don't they still have, help me with his name.
I can't remember.
Okay. Well, it's
somebody.
Well, we're doing a good job of preparing, aren't we?
Well, that just shows how important it is.
Carolina is irrelevant right now. Yeah. But anyway, quarterback situation, not great. You guys can fill in the holes there. So it's a shot in the dark about how we could value Moore's performance for this weekend.
My name is not Ian Rappaport.
Yeah. Here's what I like about your team this week. T. Higgins. Now, why would he be important this week? He already is important, but Jamar Chase is out. And that leaves more targets for Higgins. Now, that does mean that Tyler Boyd gets pushed up a little bit, and that, I think that can only help Higgins in this situation. But I really like Higgins, really like Pollard this weekend. We talked about this a couple days ago. The one time that Pollard has gotten a starting nod when Zeke has been out, he put up how many points?
30 points.
Like 30 points.
That's 2 years ago, too.
Yes. Yeah, I think he's ready to do that again. DeAndre Swift, no questionable tag. That's kind of nice. Maybe he shows out for you this weekend against Miami.
I haven't decided if I'm starting him. Yeah. It's either going to be him or Pierce.
Okay. Well, you have Pierce on your... Yeah, that's a tough one.
I have Pierce and Davis on my bench.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And then you got Waddle, who has Tua back. I think that can be good for him. He put up his biggest points with Tua in the lineup before he had his, multiple concussions. So I like that situation from you. I'm afraid that Anthony is having to rely a little bit too much on a couple of his players scoring a ton of points, which is what's really helped him with Burrow doing as well as he has, especially last week.
So you're saying Joe Burrow's not going to score 50 points?
I don't think so.
He's got to score 50 points.
Yeah, he's on target. He had 38 2 weeks ago, 45 Gosh. Against Atlanta. 50's next, maybe. I don't. Yeah. Again, I don't. I think he's having to rely a little bit too much on that the last couple of weeks, and he needs a little bit more consistency from the bottom half of his lineup. Judy is a bit of a
Punching.
It's a tough situation with him. I don't know. Well, I'm going with you because I think down your lineup you have more opportunities to get bigger points.
The other notes that I had on Anthony's team is, does Jacoby score a touchdown? By the way, you do know I'm a big Jacoby Myers.
Oh yeah,
I had him for 2 years, and he's the kind of guy everyone needs to have at least on their bench, because when you need to start him, that way you don't have to go off and find this waiver wire garbage. He's a good player. He's dependable.
Yeah.
Last year, he just never could find the end zone.
Yeah. And he does have 2 touchdowns already this year in his favor. So now,
and he seems to be one of the go-to.
Yeah.
He is the guy.
He is there. Last week, even though he only had 2 targets, he was still in every single play of the game, 100% of the snaps. Impressive.
I still think he's a number two. We always think of that alpha receiver. I don't see him. I just think he's more the WR2, kind of like almost like a Boyd situation. Yeah. Unfortunately, he's got 2 big guys, so he's almost like the third fiddle.
I think it's hard to make an opinion of the Patriots, because I think their team as a whole hasn't really figured out their mustard, you could say. Kind of hard to figure out.
I agree. I agree with that. And one last thing, Jerry Jeudy. I want to see good things. I had my eyes on him this summer, and I'm glad I didn't offer, because I was willing to offer a first-round pick to Anthony, and I couldn't pull the trigger, because I just thought, man, he's from Alabama. He's got a new quarterback. Maybe we'll find the new, and if he can stay healthy. So I'm telling all these stories to myself. And so even though I'm glad I didn't make that offer, I still hope he does well, because when I look at someone, I continue to have an emotional interest in that player. So I don't like to talk about my team, so I'm not making the call. I do have Anthony scoring 141 points.
Okay.
That's my point selection for him. This music sounds like Landon.
Make me work, make me sweat inside.
Does that sound like Landon?
Make me feel like I'm alive.
Maybe?
Sure. Go with it.
Okay. Like I said, maybe
Landon sings better. I think Landon has a better voice than he does, if we're going to talk about vocal quality. I'll go with Landon. Maybe, Landon, you have a good voice.
Maybe that's...
I like the style, though. Style is Landon.
Maybe that's JB. Maybe that's JB. So anyway, our next game is JB and Landon. And I'll just go ahead and tell you who I think is going to win. I think JB is going to score 125, and I think Landon's going to weigh in at 109.
Remember that year when JB would every single week he would score like 125 points?
It was either 2 or 3 years ago. It was, or was it in the 130s?
Maybe it was 130.
It was in the 130s.
It was consistent.
He's consistently in the 130s. It's like it wouldn't be lower. It wouldn't be. It was always in the 130s. But we already talked about this earlier. Landon just can't catch a break. You know, Drake scores 17. And by the way, the eye test, Drake looked great last. It's like, how come he didn't do that the week before, which I didn't see that game. But Drake looked, he could catch, he could run. He just looked, he looked very athletic to me. So, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
I didn't get, even though Edwards had some really nice runs, I think I heard Al Michaels saying he's a big back. It's like, really? Drake looks taller.
Yes.
I thought Edwards was a little bit smaller, not small as in CEH, but he just didn't look huge the way Michaels described him. So I just thought Drake looked better all around, but who am I?
What do we know? What do we know? Right.
I'm a baseball player, not a football player.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question. We're going to talk about JB in a minute. What does Landon need to do with his team?
That's tough. You know, this year was, he was hoping for good things to happen with his lineup. And we've talked about it. We've liked his lineup a lot. Potentially the two best wide receivers in the league, each week in his lineup with Cup and with, Chase. Just hasn't had a little bit of bad luck again. He's had the exact same number of points almost as Anthony and had the same points against as Anthony. And here Anthony has 5 wins and, Landon is 2. It's just kind of unfortunate.
He has his record is over 500 in all play score. He's just over 500. He's about 53% of his games. He's won an all play.
And unfortunately for Landon, again, we call it bad luck, but it really has happened. Just unfortunate situation where he plays the wrong guy that he played the person that you should play.
Exactly.
Like last week, Justin Fields should have been the guy he should have played as quarterback. Herbert's kind of been down a little bit the last couple of weeks. I remember even last year we talked about Landon before he made his big push after he traded for Stafford. And we said quarterback is what's going to pull him up to the front. And he got Stafford and it happened. And this year, I feel like it's his lack of quarterback play that's kept that from happening, that consistency there.
It's a good point.
And, you know, he made that move to get rid of Stafford. And I thought that was a good move. It's just been a little bit unfortunate that he hasn't been able to be consistent with the quarterback play still.
I will say this. He does have the quarterback of a few. He is a generational quarterback too.
Oh, yes. Right? I completely agreed.
He is going to be. And for all we know, he's still maybe hurt. Don't know the answer to that. So the other thing I'm concerned about Landon's team, and again, this is not a shot at Landon. He just doesn't have the depth. I mean, you look at that bench, and it's like, who's the next man standing? I mean, Thomas has proven the fact that you have to have a deep bench. I mean, he's just lost 2 key pieces, and right. One of them is already starting to make an impact in Breece Hall. So he's got a good, deep bench. I don't know who has the best or the longest bench, but Landon just doesn't have that long bench. He doesn't have a short bench. That has to be addressed. And I don't know how you can do that quickly in just 1 year. So I think some of it has to do with luck. I know he spends time studying that waiver wire.
Yes.
But I don't know what can be done to lengthen that bench. Again, that's so important to me personally. Bench, 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 bench. The problem when you have too many options, like who do I play? But I still think you've got to have length. It's just not there. And now look at what's happening right now. So his situation with Claypool, that's got to be irritating.
Because
he is a talent. I like his team. His team, when it's healthy, can beat anybody on any given Sunday, and that includes King Thomas. I mean anybody. And then when you got Cup and Chase, sometimes they can score the equivalent of 4 people combined. So I was curious what you thought. The other thing I want to ask is, what do you think of JB's team?
I think kind of a similar thing. We're just kind of lacking the depth a little bit. I think if we look back, without knowing, but if you look back at a number of moves, I think we've seen JB make maybe some of the fewest amount of moves, especially when it's already at the point where, you know, he's not going to make it. I think right now, you know, trying to move off of McCaffrey while he's still young and at least right now he's not hurt, I think that would be a great trade piece to try to build some depth for the future. So I see that he has some good players on his team, like Lamb and McCaffrey, Amon-Ra St. Brown too. I think there's some players that he can use for trade capital. Now, maybe he wants to hold on to, let's say, CeeDee Lamb, St. Brown, and those be his two guys that he tries to build around. But I feel like in his current situation, he needs to find some movement to build his team up and get some more draft picks. I think that's kind of the way he needs to approach the future.
Or if you count Renfro.
Oh, yeah, Renfro.
He already has 4 quality wide receivers.
Right.
Did you know that last year Renfro only had 3 games under 10 points? So 14 out of 17 games, he was double digits. Four of his games, he scored over 20. He was 11th overall PPR. So if you count Renfro as a quality receiver, because we haven't seen that yet because of health issues, he's got four quality wide receivers. So it could be that he keeps all four and then he flips McCaffrey for maybe, I would think he could get two picks. I mean, I wouldn't give him up for anything less than a one. I think a one right. and a two, it's like, okay, I'm interested in that conversation. I'm curious. We don't know. We only know what hasn't happened. He hasn't moved for that team. Maybe Thomas needs to be his agent on behalf of other people. And I would be thinking that anyone who wants to try to finish in the top four, and by the way, I have nothing to give up. I have zero. I have no assets to give up. I would think that someone would be interested in going after McCaffrey.
Or maybe Thomas is the agent and he's a trade partner.
And he's a trade partner.
Since he's had two running backs go down this year, maybe he tries to get McCaffrey.
Exactly.
To try to keep up with Chris
and
the other guys.
And speaking of Thomas, the question is, does he just want to stand pat and be good and finish in the top three for the next two or three years? Or does he want to try to be number one this year? If he wants to be number one this year, he may need to do that just to solidify that bench of his. Now, that's conjecture.
That's conjecture. Maybe he could do it with what he's got, but it's a, you don't know.
Then that means you have to stay healthy with the group that he has for the rest, not just for the rest of the season, but in the tournament.
Yes.
So I think it's going to come down to who has the longest bench, who has the depth to overcome some injuries. And so far, he's been able to withstand. We'll see how this week goes. We've already picked him as our winner this week. So we'll see how this plays out. One more thing about Landon. I'm just curious. I did not know this. Now, I've been looking at other people's teams because I already know who I would like to have.
Cooper Kupp.
What I'm saying is I need another wide receiver. I'm the only team in the top five who really doesn't have an explosive. I mean, explosive week after week. I'm not saying I have to have a Justin Jefferson or a Jamar Chase. I'm just saying maybe a couple notches below that.
Like Cooper Kupp. But I don't know that you'd call him a couple notches below Jamar Chase.
Well, in the ballpark. Well, okay. I looked him up, and did you know he's 29 years old?
I did not realize that. That's kind of crazy.
That changes my mind.
In my mind, he's young.
I know he looks young, and
that I'm 29 years old.
I do know that wide receivers age a little bit better, than running backs, but I don't know if I want a 29-year-old, even if I had the assets to give up. I don't. So it's just conjecture. I'd be curious who might be interested. Would Thomas be interested in, say, like a I don't know. But
I mean, you get a guy like Kupp and you're talking about winning the league.
You're talking about winning the league. You're talking about getting 20-plus points every – I think he had an off week this past week. He's going to get a ton of targets this week. He may just get every snap, every 50 snaps, he may get like 40 of them balls thrown to him this week. So, it's interesting to talk about, but when I saw that age, I thought, nope, I'm out. No more conversation for me, even though it never got started. So, well, we have one more game to talk about. This is your theme.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like I'm going to a funeral.
Feels like it.
Or maybe a baptism. It's sad. You are 1-6. And my heart is broken. And I just need something somber to play.
Oh, just grabs at the heart.
So Okay, enough of
okay,
that.
No more of that. No more of that. Okay. The exciting matchup of East Dakota Community College and your mom's hot yoga class.
I've got dog yoga.
The matchup of the year. Hold on tight to your seats, boys and girls.
That sounds good. I like that.
Thanks.
Yeah. That was really good. I've got doc yoga 122 to 117. So it's going to be close. It is going to be close.
Here's the thing. I don't mind talking about my team, even though you don't like talking about yours. I'll talk about mine all day. Okay. I hate my team.
I don't.
Okay. That being said, Michael Carter is going to be a starter this week. I don't want to say thanks to the injury because that sounds so bad, but he's going to be the starter this week because of injuries, of course. Henderson's going to be a starter this week for me as well. If they don't throw the ball to Cooper Kupp 40 times, and maybe they'll actually have a running game and he'll get involved. Tyler Boyd, we already talked about that situation without Jamar Chase this week. He's every time that he's been like the number two, he's put up really decent numbers this year.
I really think that Tyler Boyd will benefit the most because who's going to be getting the most shadowing of between Higgins and Boyd?
Probably Higgins, you would think.
Higgins. Hey, don't forget, did you know he put up a 40-point game last year?
Yeah, and I didn't start him.
No, I'm talking, well, I don't know if Boyd did.
Well, which guy put up a 40-point?
Higgins.
Oh, okay.
Higgins.
I was thinking of Boyd who had put up, I think it was last year sometime. Let's see if I can...
Yeah, he had.
Maybe not. Scratch that.
I thought he even had a 30-point game this year. And
he did put one up. Yeah, last week he had 29 points and I didn't start 29. Him. So there's that.
Well, if you, I was going to say, if you round it.
Right.
Financial analysts, we round everything
right.
up to the nearest million. So your team, here's what I like about your team. I like your wide receivers. I like what you're doing. You're putting the emphasis on wide receivers. And obviously, Michael Carter is not a guy you drop. He's still where he got drafted last year. So he may not be the guy, but he's going to be a great bench piece and potentially flex if you need him. So you're going to be the 1.01 or the 1.02 pick next year. So you're going to have five or six running backs, good running backs to pick from next year. I would like to see you get another high level pick to maybe get two running backs next year, if possible. And that may be tricky, but I think I think you're so, even next year, you could be close with that trade that you made. I also like to see you, there's nothing wrong with Kirk Cousins. He's good, except for when he plays in prime time.
In prime time, yeah.
At some point, I'd like to see. I still think you look at the top teams so far, and they all have something in common. They all have just really, really, really good quarterbacks.
Yes,
so I'm a big believer in having that strong quarterback. So, and that may be something to be thinking about too, but otherwise I like where you're going. You're of all the teams in that lower bunch. I can't make myself say the toilet bunch, the toilet bowl people. You're the only one where I see that has a plan. You're working the plan. I'm seeing some deepness. That your top wide receivers, I'm not counting Boyd in that group because he's not really showing
not
you,
there.
He's not startable, but he is when you need him. And don't forget Burks.
And Metcalf, yeah.
Yeah. So this is, again, I like your team. Now let's talk about Dylan's. What does he need?
Dylan, I think the big focus for him. Now, unfortunately, looking at his team, is the draft capital that he has may not be necessarily stupendous the next 2 years here. But the thing he needs is just to be able to draft well. And we've made fun of him before drafting Mike Gesicki in the first round, like a year ago, you know, a tight end that's been in the league for a couple years. It was an accident. He told me that, but still. drafted James Cook this year in the first round. Haven't really seen anything about that yet. I think Dylan needs to focus on drafting really well. And if he does that, then he can build around people that he's gotten on his team.
He needs to hire you or Thomas.
Not me. Let's go with Thomas.
He needs to hire Thomas.
Chris.
Pay Thomas to pick my people for me.
Don't get distracted. I feel like they just really easily will get distracted and not pay attention. Dylan is incredibly intelligent. I think just pay attention to the draft picks, and I think he'll do well. That's my one big thing for him.
This has been a fun conversation, just talking football, talking fantasy football. No, we're not Mike Clay. We're not Field Yates. We're not one of those. We're not Estanya.
Estanya.
Whatever her name is. Stefania.
Dylan could be the Stefania Bell of our league. You know, same field, basically, you know, physical therapy, medical stuff. Dylan just needs to change his gender and talk a little more lightly.
She's speaking at a PT conference this weekend.
I believe it.
I mean, a big time PT.
I love listening to her because I love seeing the intelligence that she brings from her medical background. Is super cool.
She's sharp.
Kind of a tangent, but yeah, I like her.
Well, do we have anything else before we say adios?
I got nothing else. One random thing, just as a amendment. I don't know, Michael Carter, me calling him being the starting running back this weekend. James Robinson, how much time is he going to get into the lineup this Sunday? And maybe he becomes a number one again. Just throwing that out there. I just wanted to make sure in case anyone texts me and is like, Michael Carter's not going to be a number one this weekend. So just throwing that out there just to get it out.
I have my doubts. Is Robinson even dressing out for that game?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
See, I got the idea that he wasn't going to even be in the game, that he might be. I mean, that's the thing about football. You can't just get traded and all of a sudden, even McCaffrey, seeing him out there, it's like they had to drop some simple plays because, I mean, he had one day to really prepare. So maybe,
run left, run right.
Yeah, maybe
catch ball.
Maybe his iPad on that plane just studying everything really, really quickly.
Yeah.
But one other thing I thought we'd throw out. I'm excited that you and I and Brock, your brother, that would be my oldest son. We're going to a game in Houston.
In Houston, yeah. You'll get to see your running back.
Damian Pierce. And we will see the Chiefs playing the Texans.
Yeah,
so that's going to be fun. So really stoked about that. We've already got our tickets booked. We're waiting for the tickets to come down. We're using StubHub or Ticketmaster.
Turns out the Chiefs are expensive to watch.
So usually, like the last game we went to was pre-COVID, and we went to Arizona, and we got really, really good seats.
50-yard line halfway up. It was beautiful.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. I think they were under $200, but we waited and waited. But I'm concerned that how in the world in Texas, the Houston, Texas, how can the tickets be $600? This is a terrible team. But then it was Brock that said, hey, don't remember. They're playing the Chiefs. So yeah,
everyone wants to go see the Chiefs.
Exactly. Well, we will call that a wrap, and good luck, everyone, this week.
We don't need a nightlight because we're already glowing in your lifetime. No one's ever shown you what we're showing tonight. Let your young eyes light up the night sky. We ain't even scared.
Thank you for listening to Vietnam Fantasy Football Talk with the 2 G's, Mark and Drew.